Well, as here we are at the beginning of a new church year, as we are beginning Advent, our preparations for Christmas, I'm glad, not that anybody asked me, but I'm glad that we start off this season with the Sunday of hope. Being hopeless in the true sense is perhaps one of the worst situations anyone can be in. It's almost impossible to overstate how important hope is for a life that's worth living. People with no hope, people who are in despair, have no reason to get up in the morning, have no purpose, have nothing to go forward with. So what is this hope that changes all of that? Well, one of the problems with hope, of course, is that it's another one of those words that it's got all kinds of meanings. There's different kinds of hope. For example, last week, at the Grey Cup, many of us were hoping for one team or the other. Primarily, I suspect, in this room for the Rough Riders, but you never know. People were hoping that their team would win. They had no idea if their team was going to win or not, but they hoped they would. They were looking forward to this with anticipation, but also looking into the complete unknown, which is one of the perfectly fine uses of the word hope. We sometimes have other uses of hope. Sometimes it's used to make a point, or sometimes almost frivolous. That's like when we say, well, I hope the sun comes up tomorrow. Well, come on. We all know that's going to happen. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. Our hoping is indifferent when it comes to that. That's not something that we hope for in any meaningful sense. It's usually a rhetorical tool. It's a way for us to make a point, perhaps. Is this Sunday the Sunday of hope about either of those kind? Well, no, thank goodness. That's not the kind of hope we're looking for, namely that we have no idea what's coming next, and in the same way that it's just kind of frivolous. What we have is a different kind of hope. It's a more certain hope. But what I found interesting when we look at our scripture reading, particularly our Matthew reading, the verse that struck me is verse 42. And in this translation, it says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And in all of our scripture passages, it's talking about that the Lord is going to come back. It doesn't give us any details here, and the details are irrelevant anyway, and they're kind of confusing if you really want to get into them, so I'm not going to. But they're looking forward to this coming event. And so I sometimes wonder, and it struck me in particular this time around, why isn't this called Watch Sunday? That would make sense. I mean, we're waiting for something that's going to happen. Why don't we call it Watch Sunday? And I realized that I'm pretty sure that would send the wrong message. When we look at our Matthew reading, there's a lot of uncertainty going on in here if you read it from a particular perspective. Nobody knows what's coming next, not even Jesus. And we're supposed to watch. And it's very easy for us to look at this passage of Scripture as a warning to us to be kind of concerned and to be watching all the time, that it doesn't sneak up on us in a bad way. There was a movie made a number of years ago that was based on this passage called The Thief in the Night. It was a movie that was made with good intentions and did good work in many places. It also terrified all kinds of people and caused lots of problems. As I'm quite sure I've mentioned before, there's a Facebook page called I Survived the Thief in the Night, for people who feel they've survived it. It's mostly for amusement, although there is some serious discussion that happens in it. And it was a movie that was instrumental in many people's spiritual lives, but not always positive. Because depending on the conversation after the movie, because the movie was intended to make you think and to move you in different directions, if the conversation after the movie wasn't one of comfort and of certainty, people left feeling that everything was up for grabs, that they were just supposed to be frightened. Well, that's not the purpose of, well, I don't think it was the purpose of that movie, and I know that's not the purpose of this passage. And I think I know why we start the season of Advent with hope and not with watch. Because what's the point of watching if you have no hope? At this point, watch for what? Watch for a car that's going to run over you? Well, no. We're watching in hope. Well, what is this kind of hope? It's not the hope that is completely, almost at random. I mean, a football game isn't a random event, but it, from our perspective, when we can't affect it, it almost is. And it's not the kind of hope that is just a waste of breath, like I hope Highway 1 is there when I want to go home. Well, of course it's going to be there. I can hope for that, but that's just silly. So what are we hoping for? Well, we have a certain hope. You might think, well, how is that different than a foolish hope? Well, it's different because it's not about something as trivial as the unlikelihood of Highway 1 disappearing, but about the importance of what we are hoping for and looking forward to. And I was trying to come up with a way to illustrate this, or for us to think about it in a different way, and I was very pleased, for the first time maybe ever, that physics is out there. Not because I don't approve of physics, but I just don't think of physics when I'm up here in the pulpit. It doesn't impinge a whole lot on me. I did very poorly in physics when I took it in high school. I was under the impression I had actually dropped the class, which I was doing poorly in, and unfortunately I hadn't filled out the paperwork correctly. So my high school transcript, as yet unfinished as far as graduation goes, has a class with 10% on it. It reminds me, if I ever decide to get full of myself academically, that I have a 10% in one of my transcripts. It's almost impossible to do that, but apparently I managed it. But when I was thinking of what this kind of hope is like, when you're hoping for something that you know is coming, and I thought of Dr. Higgs. A number of years ago, Dr. Higgs posited, described, had mathematical formulae that said there is this particle called a boson that is extremely important to physics. And if it exists in this way, then all these things make sense, and I say it does. And Dr. Higgs went on record as saying this particle exists, but nobody'd seen one. It seemed to exist. There was a good sense that it did. And he hoped that it did in the sense that he knew it had to be there. But it was earlier this year, was it this year or last year? I think earlier this year that the large collider in Switzerland collided, however it does that, whatever that means. And they saw one in the sense that they see any of these things for a trillionth of a second or something like that. And so what he hoped for was there. That's the kind of hope we're looking for. It's not this hope that is born out of complete uncertainty, and it's not the hope that comes out of a total certainty that the physical world will continue to exist. But it's a certain hope. It's a hope that we know will come, but still provides us with the energy of looking forward to it, not in the almost fatalistic way that the road will continue to exist, that we'll have steps to get off the stage. Not that kind of thing, but in the hope that it is coming and it will be here. If Dr. Higgs would have passed away before the Hadron Collider found this evidence of this particle, would his life have been in vain? Would his hope have been in vain? No. He knew it was, the fact that he didn't see it doesn't change the hope. It wouldn't mean that he would end his life in a sense of, well, that was a waste. No, because he knew it was coming. And that's the kind of hope we have. That's the kind of hope we have that my parents had, that everybody back to the original disciples had. The hope that Jesus is coming back. How that comes, we don't care. It doesn't matter. But we have this hope that he will, because that hope is based on more than just wishful thinking. Physicists base their predictions about particles not on wishful thinking, but on the structure of their discipline. We base our hope that Jesus is coming back, as he did as a baby, in some form that is unmistakable, almost certainly physical in a way that we will obviously easily understand. We base that on the reality of our relationship with God. We base that on our connection with him. We base this hope on the witness of Scripture, on the witness of church history, of The rest of history, of all of those things that are explainable only when you remember that God is alive, that God loves us and is engaged in His creation on an individual level and on the whole creation level. We don't hope in the sense that it sure would be nice that it happened someday. We hope in the sense that it will happen one day. And when it does, it'll make sense of a lot of things that I don't understand yet. We hope for it in the sense that we look forward to it. Just like we look forward to Christmas. At least I hope we do. Children do. In the same way that we look forward to our birthday. The existence of what we're hoping for changes everything about us and provides that energy, that internal sense that yes, we're moving forward because of what we're hoping for. That what we're hoping for isn't wishful thinking, isn't trivial, but is of the utmost importance. As I said, the problem with the word hope is that it has so many meanings. We hope it happens in our lifetime, but that's a different kind of hope than the hope we have for the return of Jesus. We hope we do, because that would make a lot of things easier. I hope he comes back before next Saturday when I've got a really big and nasty paper due. That's that kind of hope. I had a digression that probably will take all the momentum away, but it's just too good not to tell. One of my professors I think it was my first year, had this massive first year class, there were 180 students, and on the day of the final exam, he made this remark that not everybody heard, and some who heard were quite offended. And as he said, as he was handing out the exams, or they were being handed out, he said, "Well, it looks like you're here for the exam. God answered my prayers." Which I thought was pretty funny. And some people were very provoked that he would do such a thing. Those aren't the kind of hopes we're talking about. And we hope that Jesus comes back, not just in our lifetime, not just for those trivial reasons, not just because it'll be convenient, but because that's what we're moving towards. As we become more like Christ, as we allow the Holy Spirit to mold us into the people we were created to be, we know that it's virtually impossible for us to achieve that here. And it'll take the end of us, whether that's when the end of everything happens or when we end our time here, for that to be perfected and to be finalized. We want that to happen. We look forward to that happening. We hope for its coming. We begin the church year, we begin Advent, with the Sunday of hope, because that's one of the things that we have. People who have a relationship with God through Jesus have hope in a way that other people don't. It's not easily amenable to experimentation to prove it, but we don't need experimentation to prove the difference that has happened in our lives, in the lives of those around us that we've seen. In the stories, in the histories of our church, our connection to other people. Our hope is based in reality, not just in wishful thinking. And we hope for this return, for what it will do for everything, for a creation that's returned to what it was made to be and meant to be. What a wonderful thought. Something to keep us moving forward as we go through snow and icy roads and this season of the year when we say this couldn't be how it was created. And we look forward to the day when it won't be this way anymore. We have hope because our hope is grounded in the certain reality that Jesus will do what he said he would do. He'll return. We have hope because our lives have meaning as we work towards that return. Our meaning comes not just from what we accomplish, but from who we become as we accomplish things. And we move forward in hope.